just one day. I want to break all regulations, because we all go the same way, and we all pass the same stations. For just one day, I want to feel totally free. No responsibilities, just everything is okay. No desires, just surviving is the key. 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 One day, I want to ignore a senseless fade. Colors are victorious over the gray. Stop to get controlled by the spade. For just one day, I want to forget the value of money and gold. I want to live life my way and lose my inhibition threshold.
Allow us to feed our population, our communities, allow us to generate our own power, and allow us to even govern ourselves and even trade with other communities. That's called transition. And on this program, we call it shift shaping. We get to shape how the shift is going. Maybe not entirely. There are some things that are actually that are planetary. I mean, we can't control when there's going to be an earthquake, and there have been a lot of them lately. In fact, in Japan, where 30,000 people maybe were wiped out in a second by an earthquake and a tsunami. Flooding in Nebraska that's endangering a nuclear power plant. flooding in on the Missouri River and these rivers that have been flooding now a lot. There is a juggernaut of water from the ice caps that we've been melting, and it has just started. So that's what we're talking about with the shift. Now, shaping the shift has to do with let's put some things in place. And one of them is, hey, how will we trade with each other? How are we going to develop, since we have a system of currency that's really based on exploitation and debt in third world countries and here in our own country, that is based on being traded for oil and for other resources, that's now actually under threat, not only because of debt and because of debt holders turning around and threatening to do what they've been doing to Greece, Spain. There's a threat now that it happened in the United States. That's what Wisconsin and Michigan are all about, that, you know, taking away the union organizing rights of public employees, taking away their pensions, taking away the benefits. It's not a gradual taking away anymore. It's rapid, and it's rapid fire, and it's underway, and no amount of protest is stopping it. And that's part of the International Monetary Fund. That's the IMF turning its binoculars on the United States after having done what it's done to Haiti and Spain, Greece, other countries. The euro is about to collapse. That's the fear. Wall Street is at the edge of its seat with white knuckles, hoping that Spain and Greece, Portugal, Ireland, Iceland, the number of countries in danger of collapsing like dominoes in Europe, collapsing economically, it keeps increasing. And it's because of that debt. It's because that fraudulent debt trading that went on up to 2006 and collapsed in 2007, 2008. It hasn't been reconciled. The reckoning has not been done. And it's only starting to turn around. So we have an economic system that's in collapse. So coming up here is an interview with myself and Evelina Molina with Jeff Dickin of the Baltimore Green Currency. They have started, and they are sistering with the green currency, the alternative currency that's already in circulation in Washington, D.C. They've started one for Baltimore, and they have a couple of how-tos on how to do that. So this is all part of the ongoing series on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio, talking about things that we can be doing to be having a transition in the face of global climate change and in the face of economic collapse, that we build the communities that we need to have in place with our neighbors. So we'll finish up a little listening to this music, and we will have that interview with Jeff Dickin, Baltimore Green Currency, coming up in a moment here on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio here on KOWS FM 107.3 Occidental, California.
Tuning in to the second part of our transitional currencies for the Shift Shapers Wallet on Shift Shapers Shaping the Shift, KOWS 107.3 FM, and online at www.blogtalkradio.com Shift Shapers, and in a bilingual format for KBBF 89.1 FM, Viviendo Verde Ya. Today we have, as promised, the second part of our show, and we have Jeff Dickin, the director of the Baltimore Green Currency Association. With you today is Evelina Molina and Daniel Kerbine, your hosts.
Hello.
Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
We are so excited to have you. Thank you very much for doing this interview for us. And we promised our listeners that we would follow up after talking about the show that you had on. What was the name of the program, Daniel?
It was on the Mark Steiner Show out of Baltimore.
Out of Baltimore. And we promised our listeners that we would follow up with you and find out how things are going 2 months later after your launch. So, Jeff, give us a background on how and why the Baltimore Green Currency Association got started, and how are things going after 2 months of your launch?
Absolutely. So in the beginning, there were a few Baltimore residents who got together. We were talking about economic systems in the wake of the economic downturn and how corporations have been focused on profits more and more over time and less on people, and what could we do about it in the city to support our small businesses and support ourselves economically. And one of the things that we started talking about most was starting a local currency, because that's one of the things that cities and communities can do to take back their purchasing power and make sure that the power that they're putting out there every day when they make decisions about buying something goes back into their communities and supports small business and supports their neighbors and ultimately themselves. We planned for about a year, from last April to this April, before we actually launched the currency. We had to get a lot of the dynamics settled, figure out how we were going to handle it, get a team in place, and we did launch the currency April 17th, about 2 months ago. We launched with over 55 small businesses on board. We had been canvassing from last fall into the spring, slowly getting businesses, restaurants, hair salons, hardware stores, anything that anybody would want to use ordinarily, you know, during the course of their day. At this point, we've got over 80 businesses in the network, and we've put over 9,000 B notes into circulation, almost 10,000 B notes out there as of today. So it's going really well. We're getting great feedback. People are very excited about the change.
Jeff, can you tell me, from your initial team that got this started, is there anybody, did you guys have a background in financial economics? Did you have any people that were really into alternative or complementary currencies, or did you study up on this stuff as you decided to do this?
Mostly studying it as we decided to do it. However, the one other main initiator of the program, Michael Rigby, had worked for an organization called Result in D.C. He was lobbying for them and doing microloan-related work. So that played into it a little bit. We had talked about a lot about providing microloans to small businesses in Baltimore and to entrepreneurs for starting new businesses. These, of course, would be no-interest loans. This is a no-interest currency that doesn't pay any interest to any banks or even to us.
So just to catch you up on this, what Jeff Dickin of Baltimore Green Currency is talking about is the vision is actually to start a financial system in the Baltimore area. They're starting with what's called a complementary currency called the B note, which has $2, $5, and $10 at the moment denominations. It's a go local, made local, be local, do your business locally, grow local. It's a whole local based economy idea, so that the money isn't just being taken by a big box store and being put in the pockets of the CEOs. It's actually being circulated around small businesses and farms and other interests in the community to the benefit of consumers. So a little bit more about that. Keep listening for it, that there is a vision for other things economical, other things in the field of economics with the B-Note and with Baltimore Green Currency. Back to the interview.
And it's really for economic equality, bottom line. But we started studying other local currency systems, including the Brixton Pound, the Lewis Pound. Those are two little sections outside London. Berkshires, which is up in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, Ithaca Hours, and other systems, and just pulling together the strongest dynamics of those systems, and then taking out anything that seemed confusing or difficult to adopt to try to make it, you know, the strongest and easiest to adopt system around.
And you're listening to Jeff Dickin, the director of Baltimore Green Currency Association, and he's talking about the B-Note. Can you tell me, what has been the user experience feedback from the public?
They're generally in favor of it. They get a 10% discount right off the bat. So every $10 that they exchange for B-Notes gets them 11 B-Notes, and they circulate equivalent to dollars. So it's like getting 10% off at any of the 80-plus businesses now that are in the network. People are liking the design. We had a design contest. We've got two prominent Baltimore figures on the bills. We've got Edgar Allan Poe on the five, which is, you know, with the raven on the back, which is really wonderful. And the way they're designed is to look, you know, more or less like European currency. We've got this very high quality designed. We've got Frederick Douglass on the one.
They're like Tom
with inspirational quotes on them as well to make people think about money in it, and that it can be more than just some dollar that they don't even think about that's in their wallet. It can be a piece of art. It can be beautiful, and it can be something that you're proud to take out and even give to someone.
And another thing, this is a question for Jeff Dickin of the Baltimore Green Currency Association, and I'm asking about the Baltimore bucks, the Baltimore currency. So, Jeff, so what's the advantage for the businesses that are on the Baltimore Green Currency Network using the Baltimore bucks? What advantages do they get out of this?
There are a few advantages for the small businesses that join the network. And incidentally, we don't ask anything of them. They don't have to sign anything. We figure you don't sign up to use the dollar. You shouldn't have to sign up to use your own local currency. That has even better effect. So for the businesses, we're giving them promotion via their inclusion in our online directory and also our print directories. We're getting their names out there, attracting business to their location that are going to bring dollars as well as B-notes. So that's one benefit for them. In addition, they know that they're supporting their local economy and their local community because this is money that's going to keep circulating locally and boosting wealth
right
here in Baltimore and in the community.
So when we're talking about circulating, it's kind of interesting because it looks like you have a chicken or egg situation here. You've got people want to be able to use the new currency and have places to go with it, and at the same time, which means that you need to have businesses on board, which is part of what you described in getting started. In order for it to actually be currency, you have to have the cycle of the user purchaser and the merchants or whoever the business is. Is there anything tied into this that has to do, you mentioned that you had researched the Ithaca hours. Is there anything piece of this where people can get Baltimore currency value for volunteer time with nonprofits, or is there any kind of time banking element to it?
That's something we're actually looking into, is time banking, LET systems, which is local exchange trading systems, other forms of value creation. And that's ultimately where this heads, because people don't think about money. They don't think about dollars. It's just sort of something that's the subtext of their life. It's always existed as far as they're concerned. There's never been anything other than the dollar. And that's been one of our big challenges launching this thing, is to get people to think about this. It's an education issue. Every time they go out and spend money, they're making a choice. And they have a choice of who they're supporting with that money. Do they want to take it to Starbucks and have it be drawn out of their community and go out to Delaware or Texas or somewhere and they never see it again? Or do they want to go to the little local coffee shop and have three times as much of that money circulate locally within their community and benefit them? We have a Walmart project that's coming in right in the middle of the city, right near Hamden, which is one of our first target neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very concerned about this because Walmart comes in and it kicks the legs out from under local business. And this was a huge concern. There is a group called Be More Local that fought the Walmart coming in, but ultimately it passed the city council. So they're moving ahead with this project. And we wanted to get the B-note out there early enough and with a large enough and diverse enough business network that we can get people thinking about who they're supporting when they're spending their money. You know, they're going to have B-notes in their wallet and purse. They're going to be looking for places to spend them. And now we've got over 80 businesses, probably soon 100 by the end of the month or sometime in July. And they'll go out, they'll patronize those businesses, and they'll actually be thinking about that. You know, who am I supporting?
So a little bit of an interruption here. You're listening to KOWS FM 107.3, low power FM in Occidental, California. Community radio for West Sonoma County. You're listening to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. And the person who's doing the talking there, to myself, Daniel Kerbine, and Evelina Molina, my co-host, is Jeff Dicken of Baltimore Green Currency. And one of the things that he just mentioned there, if you've been listening all along, you heard this, that there's a Walmart coming in to downtown Baltimore, and they wanted to make sure that they got the low currency in place, and they also have a project to actually fight off the Walmart superstore, which just about every community now where a Walmart shows its ugly head, there's some organized opposition to it. Now think about this. Really consider this. What does it take to be the CEO? I mean, seriously, what kind of person does it take to be the CEO of a company that wherever you go, you destroy communities economically? You destroy the surrounding small businesses. Money gets moved out of there into whatever community your headquarters is and out to China where the products come from and where actually Walmart has factories. And that's what your company does, and that's what its design is to do that. That's its design. Now, we might have the veil over our faces that says that there's no other cost involved for getting the cheap junk that stores like Walmart provide. We may have that veil totally over our faces. That's okay. You know, it's kind of like in the movie Alien, where the guy has the alien cocoon over his face and finally gets it off of him. Well, that doesn't mean that there's another alien not inside. You know, this is something where there's a reason why communities fight off the Walmarts. But there's something bigger than this, which is when we put our trust in the corporations that are feeding us the commercials and the corporations that are paying for all of the political campaigns, there may be a few somewhere here and there. I'm sure there are some. I would say Norman Solomon would be one of those. They're rare and few and far between. Norman Solomon is running for Congress, covering part of Sonoma County, a large part of Sonoma County and Marin County, who aren't taking corporate money. But this is the kind of thing. They're not going to listen to us. And anyone they pay for their campaign isn't going to listen to us either. Just a little heads up there, okay? Getting back to Jeff Dickin and creating local currency as we make the shift into transition.
Making all my purchases every day. Do I want to support Walmart? Do I want to support Starbucks? You know, they don't care about my community, frankly. I want to support my neighbor who runs the small hardware store down the street instead of going to Lowe's. That's the whole bottom line of all of this.
People get to vote with their dollars.
That's right. We take back the power of our purchasing.
And you're listening to Jeff Dickin, the director of Baltimore Green Currency Association, talking about the Baltimore B-Note on transitional currencies for the Shift Shaper's Wallet. Shift Shapers Shaping the Shift on KOWS 107.3. Jeff, talking about target neighborhood, can you tell us, did you do some research as to where would be the best place to launch this, and how has that changed? Are you targeting only one neighborhood, or have you grown, and what are your plans for expansion?
That's a great question. When we started this whole thing, we really didn't have any idea how we were going to go about it, or where we were going to target this currency, or whether it was going to be one community or the entire city. And it was sort of an intuitive process. We kind of looked at the city. You know, we were all from Baltimore or had lived here for a number of years, and just started thinking in our own lives about where would be the best place. And Hamden is a community. It's right in the center of Baltimore. It's sort of geographically secluded, and it has a lot of the features that are conducive to strong adoption of local currency, including geographic isolation, small businesses, strong community feel. There are a lot of young people moving in. There's a lot of good energy there. It's a revitalizing area. All of these things led us to realize that that was really the place to focus. And, you know, another one of our challenges has been the perception among Baltimoreans that this is a Hamden currency, when it's really a Baltimore currency. And as we went along, we realized we couldn't just have, you know, a Hamden B-note and, say, a Hamilton B-note and a Fells Point B-note, which was our initial concept. And we've had to course correct a lot as we've gone along, you know, as we've thought about this more and more, and as we developed it and put it into practice, that this really should just be an entire citywide local currency, and that we would draw strength from the diversity of the network and the size of the business network.
I'm really curious about how you get something like this started. So that leads to a couple of questions, like, what have been the challenges of launching an alternative economic system, and what advice would you give to a community looking to start their own alternative economic system? I think you've hinted at a few things, mm-hmm. but I'm wondering if you can just directly tackle that.
Yeah, and it gets back to the chicken and egg problem. Like you were saying, one of the biggest challenges was getting out there. We started canvassing very regularly, at least once a month, back in September, I believe it was, August and September, and hitting the avenue, they call it, in Hamden, the main street of Hamden, going to all the merchants and saying, hey, we've got this thing going on. It's the B-Note. It's going to help your business. It's going to bring new business to you. It's also going to help the community at large and the people of this city, and not benefit corporations and not benefit the big six banks. Do you want to be a part of it? And that was a long process because of the chicken and egg dynamic. You know, we had to get a number of businesses on board before other businesses would say, oh, this is something businesses are generally doing here and it's a good thing. Some of them got it right away. Some of them, you'd walk in and you'd present it and say local currency, and they go, oh, yeah, I want, sign me up. I've been waiting for this to happen here. And that did happen more than once. But on the whole, it was an education issue, and we had to get a number of businesses on board before other ones would hop on. But we seem to have been hitting the tipping point for that. And for other communities looking to start their own system, my best recommendation is just do it. Just start. Get even two or three people together. Mm-hmm. Look at the dynamics of other systems. We have a local currency administrators Google group that you can sign up for. If you write us through our site, baltimoregreencurrency.org, get involved in the local administrators Google group. We're going to be sharing best practices. We're going to be sharing, you know, tips and tricks from on the ground and dynamics of other systems. You know, just giving people options of how to do it. We're starting a wiki out there as well so that all of these administrators can add their information. But I would say pick the direction. You know, just say you wanted to start Bay Bucks, or someone wants to start Denver Dollars. You know, pick a name first. make a little logo, make it professional. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just make something simple, draw up a flyer. We've also got flyers that we adapted from the Potomac Dollar down in Washington, D.C. Larry Chang, who started the Potomac Dollar, was great about it. He said, yeah, take all of our promotional materials, just adapt them for the B-note. And that's exactly what we did. We took a couple of his flyers, we updated them, and that's a good way for other potential currencies to start publicizing themselves, make use of the materials that are already out there. And the second thing is to treat it as a done deal. Say, look, this is something that's happening. This is happening. You are going to have a local currency, and it's going to be called Daybucks or whatever it is. And this is something that's going to help your community. And you get out there and you just push it, and you say, we need this. This is not only a good idea, it's mandatory for us to take back the economic structure for ourselves and for our communities.
Jeff, when we were reporting on your initial radio program, one of the things when you were asked about the reaction of your local city and state elected officials, and you kind of said, well, we really haven't talked, I guess you hadn't really got into any significant dialogue or a debate with them about this issue. Has that changed? How are the local city and state officials, have they talked to you about this? Are you on the radar at this point? Has any of that changed?
Yeah, actually, when we had our launch, we were going to have our launch on April 16th at an event called EcoFest in Druid Hill Park, and that got rained out. But one of the good things that did happen that day was the mayor, Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake of Baltimore, was having a press conference right in Druid Hill Park at the conservatory there, and the organizer said, you know, maybe you want to head over there and meet her and give her a B-note, because we had one of the first B-notes set aside to present to the mayor at our launch. And I gave it to her after her press conference, and she was thrilled, and she saw the bill, and she had heard a lot about it, and she called for a photographer right away and held it up, and we got a picture. It's out of there on our website. We've also been making some inroads with the Office of Sustainability in the city, and we're trying to get into their sustainability report for 2011, which I believe we've got some text in there now about the B-note. But the other side of that is, you know, we are doing this for larger purposes. You know, this is something that needs to happen for the citizens and for the businesses and the business community. So our focus really has been more on building the system and getting it large enough and strong enough that we can meet other organizations in the city and business coalitions halfway and say, you know, this is something that's going on, it's having this positive effect and this positive effect, and, you know, how can you help us with it, essentially?
Jeff, I was wondering, one of the things that Julie and I, who we were talking to, Julie seems to be very active.
That would be Julie Ferris.
Yeah, Julie Ferris.
That's right. Yep, she's one of the co-organizers of Baltimore Green Currency.
Great. One of the things we were discussing was really expanding the paradigm in ways that you see, because ultimately this still is connected to a monetary system, because people are actually trading in. My understanding is it's backed up by the cash that's put into the bank, correct?
Yes, that's right.
So there's still a link, and there is still a form of disenfranchisement from people that don't actually have a means of cash, whether they got laid off from a job or they're just in financial straits. I'm wondering if you're looking into expanding the paradigm for ways to bring in not only some kind of getting out of the currency system for those that are limited, but also bringing in communities that are disenfranchised in general because of their ethnicity or their cultural background.
Yes, and that's one of our primary focuses, is getting this into the lower income neighborhoods and finding ways that there can be what they call value creation at the margin, where people have skills and they can do things for other people. But right now with the current system, we've got this dollar-based dynamic that's sort of inserted itself between us, between people, citizens, residents, who want to do things for each other and create value for each other and trade in that way, either in time, services, hours, whatever it is. And Julie is collecting stories from local people who have had experience with other forms of value creation, like the let systems or time banking, so that we can eventually move through the B-note and have the B-note as one thing that we've introduced, but also have these other systems of value creation so that people can put together, you know, maybe they do babysitting, but they also do carpentry and they do proofreading, and they can sort of cobble together distributed, you know, number of jobs that they do for their community and make a living doing that, but without having to say, have a, quote, job, unquote. You know, they do a number of things to support their community and provide value and get rewarded for it, whether it's in alternative currency or if it's in getting services from other community members that they might need.
And this is Daniel. And I have a question about one of the things you referred to is about being a part of the Baltimore area sustainability report. How does the something like a complementary currency, such as the B-note, figure into the concept of sustainability?
That's also a really good question. As we get a larger and more diverse business network together, we find that there are gaps. So there are things that some of the businesses get from their suppliers that they can only get from suppliers out of state or out of the country, and these provide opportunities now for other Baltimore residents to say, oh, wait, I can do that. I can fill that need. I can fill that gap in the supply chain. And as we solidify these supply chains, these local supply chains, it prevents us from having to truck in or fly in as much from out of state or out of the city, which reduces the burning of fossil fuels, first of all, but also makes it a more resilient area in case of any kind of oil shocks in the future where, you know, you can imagine if gas goes up to $10 a gallon, which it will at some point, having passed peak oil already, it's going to be a little difficult to pay for certain types of things to be brought in to fill in those gaps in the supply chain. It's important to do that locally for that very purpose, for resilience of the local area. We're already seeing an explosion in local farming and urban farming. They've allowed urban livestock in Baltimore now, so people can have chickens, believe it or not.
Right.
And also local energy creation, where people are investing in solar installations so that they can do the same thing, have a resilient energy grid that's generated right there where they are, instead of relying on far-flung, you know, nuclear or coal plants somewhere else to deliver us electricity.
To get to the conclusion of this interview, I actually have two questions, and maybe they're related. The first is, well, I think Evelina touched on this a little bit with diversity of communities and multi-ethnic expanding into there. One of the impressions I get from your description of the Baltimore currency and also of the Potomac currency is that thinking big is a piece of having it succeed. And when I look at the news that's been coming out, you know, I've been watching Al Jazeera and seeing what's been going on in Greece, and with the euro is about to collapse, basically. There are about six countries getting ready to just fall like dominoes economically. Is this something that countries like Greece might benefit from developing for themselves, this localized currency, localized energy, instead of being part of a collapsing, you know, regional multinational economy?
Well, that gets to the central issue, because Greece has its own currency, but it's been co-opted and taken over by the euro and by the other international bankers who have taken advantage of Greece and have taken advantage of their currency for their own benefit. And we get the same dynamic here. We used to have hundreds of regional currencies in the U.S. that were doing just fine before the dollar was made, you know, legal tender, and the law was you had to accept the dollar for everything, so people gradually migrated onto the dollar standard. But there's a great strength in having distributed currencies in each little community and area to do the things that that community needs to do. Because really the central purpose of money is to just facilitate transactions. You know, the B-note is not for accumulation, it's not for speculation, it's just to get things done in the community. And that's all it does. You know, people circulate it as transactions occur. It's doing everything it needs to do.
And you're listening to Jeff Dickin, the director of the Baltimore Green Currency Association, on Shift Shapers, Shaping the Shift, on KOWS 107.3 FM. And Jeff, this is also going to be aired in a bilingual format on KBBF 89.1 FM, which is the first bilingual radio station in the entire country. Really proud to have that here in our own little local Santa Rosa. And so in conclusion, what is your population like there in Baltimore of the Spanish-speaking, Latino, and multi-ethnic communities? What is your vision for outreaching to the Spanish-speaking people?
Yeah, we have a very strong Latino community in Baltimore, actually, and one of the areas that we're looking at expanding into as we move across the city and get into all the different communities and business areas is Highland Town, out Eastern Avenue to the east of the city, and very strong Latino community out there, a lot of very small independent businesses that are thriving, but could be doing even better with the addition of a local currency to really keep their wealth circulating right there in Highland Town, and a number of other communities with high Latino populations as well.
So will you be picking a local Latino? Do you have another B-note you can print?
Yeah, we're going to be printing additional series. We haven't really decided who's going to go on them. We're trying to pick mostly historical Baltimore figures or figures with a strong tie to Baltimore. So we're considering, you know, other musicians, Billie Holiday, or possibly sports figures, Brooks Robinson, Babe Ruth. You know, got a lot of good candidate B-note figures out there, and we're going to have to figure out how we're going to have a contest to figure out who goes on the next one.
I just want to recommend that for inclusion of the Latino community, and Julie was talking about how important the aesthetic of the note should be, also picking somebody that represents leadership and success of Baltimore in the Latino community would be great, just so that they can see that and identify. And also, we want to make this programming available. I will be translating it into Spanish for our listeners, and it will be posted on www.blogtalkradio.com/shiftshapers. It'll be on a bilingual format for your Spanish-speaking community members that you might want to get information to so they can hear about this. And we would love to be able to play a role, even though we're over here on the West Coast. We still want to support the work that you do and congratulate you. We're watching, and we've got plans of our own here in our local community to start a similar movement, and we're very appreciative that you've taken time with us today, Jeff, to share your story. And I hope that we can be interviewing you in maybe another 3 months and continue the wonderful chapters of your process.
Absolutely. I'll be glad to give you an update then. Very excited that it's getting seeded to other areas. There are dozens of other communities that are starting local currencies right now. And this is a big happening issue, the localization of currency and food and energy. This is the way we take back our power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what a great way to conclude the interview. And this is what you're listening to is Jeff Dicken, the director of Baltimore Green Currency Association out of Baltimore, Maryland. You are listening to us on Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio, KOWS-FM, on KBBS, FM 89.1, and of course on our podcast on blogtalkradio.com. Jeff Dicken, thank you for joining us today for this interview. Very informative and very inspiring, actually.
For just one day, I want to forget the value of money and gold. I want to live life my way and lose my inhibition threshold. For just one day, I want to feel totally free. No responsibilities, just everything is okay. No desires, just surviving is the key. Surviving is the key. Surviving is the key.
The idea is to be